Tonight, as we come for evening services, I don't think that there's any special thing planned this evening. And what I want to do is I want to share with the congregation down in the fellowship hall a video, a film that contrasts the Book of Mormon with the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. And I think it's a wonderful testimony of the when Mormons come knocking on your door, the young Mormon missionaries come knocking on your door, and they want to share with you their gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They want to share with you the teachings from the Book of Mormon that you need to understand. When they suggest or when they claim that the Book of Mormon is comparable to the Holy Scriptures, you will find in this from watching this video that the comparisons, there's a stark difference in the comparisons. And so tonight I want to share that with you. I encourage you to come. You're welcome to we'll have some coffee and I don't know, maybe a snack or whatever, but I encourage you to come and watch this video. It will certainly be an eye-opener to you. Is the Book of Mormon the Word of God? I don't believe it is at all. And this video tonight will, when you leave, you will understand the difference in the two. Last Sunday, we shared with you the seemingly one brief moment in the life of Joshua where he, like Peter walking on the water before Jesus, took his eyes off of the Lord and began to sink. You remember that Joshua committed Israel to battle without seeking God's face first and witnessed a terrible defeat before the little city of Ai. But from that point on, Joshua, fully committed to the Lord, led Israel from one victory to another, conquering the land of Canaan, and subsequently he divided the land among God's people, the Israelites. He had been used of God to achieve many wonderful things for Israel. He was a perfect example of what God can do with a man of faith. Many a leader of Israel, or even a preacher or Bible teacher or Sunday school teacher, godly mothers, father, sister, or brother who has already gone home to be with the Lord, still have left behind them a wonderful testimony of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have so many folks who have gone home to be with the Lord who were family members of Powhatan Free Will Baptist Church, that when we sit around and we're sharing in the Word of God or when we're fellowshipping together, we can always remember back and remember the testimonies of these folks. Well, Joshua was one of those that the Israelites could look back and see a man, the testimony of a man of faith. But these folks who have gone home to be with the Lord, they've been an example for others to follow. And the writer of Hebrews says, the same Christ that our fathers served yesterday is the same Christ that we should be serving today. And he will be the same Christ our children, hopefully, will be serving tomorrow if Christ tarries. It all so many times depends on the example we set. Joshua was the one that put that great ultimatum to Israel. In Joshua 24:15, there are many Christians who have this verse of Scripture framed and on the walls in their homes. Joshua put to the children of Israel, he says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve," who? "The Lord. But for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." So Joshua's faith in God was a perfect example for others to emulate. But when Joshua died, God was hard-pressed to find a man to stand in the gap. God was hard-pressed to find another individual who was like Joshua. And he went through one judge right after another judge. And these judges, these individual judges during in the book of Judges, the history of the activity of the Israelites after the death of Joshua is recorded in the book of Judges. It's like a roller coaster a ride of ups and downs that the people experienced. When things went bad, they went to the Lord to be delivered. And yet when God delivered them and there was peace in the land, then they began to drift away from God and began to get themselves wrapped up in the idols of the land and the wickedness of the land. And God would send another catastrophe or another famine or whatever upon the land. God would have the nomads just sweep through and tear up their land and steal their crops and so forth. And so It was just a roller coaster, ups and downs. God would deliver Israel. Israel would have a time of peace, and then Israel would sway away from God and get involved in the wickedness of the land. God would send judgment again, and then the people would turn back to God, led by this particular judge that God had called up. But Joshua's faith in God was a perfect example of others to emulate. But when Joshua died, God was hard-pressed to find another man to stand in the gap and to fill the shoes of Joshua. The Israelites were too busy building their own homes, enjoying their own inheritance, resting in the promised land to be concerned about spiritual matters and about worship or spiritual leadership. And I believe in the United States of America today, there's many homes that profess to be Christian homes, but their focus of attention is not so much on the Lord, and they're not busy about the Lord's work, but they're busy about worldly things. And because of that, I believe it's hard, God is hard-pressed to be able to bless those homes. This morning, I mean, you may be a Christian, and you may profess your home to be a Christian home, and yet within the home, there are things that are activities that go on there that absolutely do not bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, I don't believe God is going to bless where there's wickedness and corruption, where there's sin abounding, willful sin, by the way. So the Israelites, too, were busy building their own homes, enjoying their own inheritance, resting in the promised land. They were too busy to be concerned about spiritual matters and about worship or spiritual leadership. And the book of Judges, which records the history of the Israelites after the death of Joshua, as Warren Wiersbe puts it, Warren Wiersbe said this, "It's a book of defeat and disgrace." Warren Wiersbe says that the book of Judges is a book of defeat and disgrace. The overall theme of the book is found in Judges 17 and verse 6. You need not turn there, but the scripture says, "Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." You know, we live in the land of the free, do we not? We boast about how free we are in this land. We ought to have a right to do what we want to do, act the way we want to act. Well, that's not what freedom really means. That's not what freedom really means at all. This nation was founded upon the very principles of Holy Scripture. And the freedom that we enjoy is the freedom that has been given to us by God. And today, we consider freedom as being able to trample on anybody else's business, to live in a way that brings dishonor and discredit to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only to Him, but also to our families and our relatives. But the overall theme of the book of Judges is every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And yet Proverbs 16:25 reminds us that there is a way that seems right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. There's a way that seems right in the eyes of man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. You know, when people talk about going to heaven and working to get to heaven, the Bible says, "By grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself, as a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast." Well, it just seems right to man and to the heart of man that if we're going to go to heaven, we ought to be working to get there. We ought to be able to stand before God someday, and He'll ask us, "Why should I let you come into the kingdom?" And we would be able to stand up there and just parade all of our good works, and He would be, you know, He would just be all excited and satisfied with us, and He'd say, "Oh, all the wonderful things you've done." But that's the way that seems right to man. But the ends, the Bible says, the ends thereof are the ways of death. Because if you come before the Lord Jesus Christ someday, which in fact you certainly will, and you begin to boast to the Lord Jesus about all the things that you've done, I'll tell you what God is going to say. He's going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Because the only way to eternal life is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, is by faith and trust in the work, the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in Proverbs 16:25, the writer of the Proverbs says there's a way that seems right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. And during this time of the judges, people did what they thought was right in their own eyes. Man's way never leads to life. Man's way never leads to life. It leads to confusion. It leads to frustration. It leads to anxiety. And eventually, it leads to death. And I want us to look at the life of Samson in light of what the New Testament tells us will be the picture of this world just before Jesus comes again. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, the Bible says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy." And my friends, I'll tell you, you don't have to survey the land very long before you come to realize that this is the time that we're living in today. This is the time that we're living in today. Our president, who is our president, one of the very first things that he did was he signed legislation, or an executive order which lifts the ban on funding overseas abortions. Funding abortions for overseas. Abortion is the mark on this land that is bringing it down. And it's bringing it down quickly. One of the very first actions he took was to lift the ban on funding of abortions overseas. So that not only is the mainland cursed with it, now he's going to open it up again to the world. I don't know. I don't want my tax dollars spent funding abortion. I certainly don't want that. And yet the law of the land is that that's what the tax dollars are spent for. And the law of the land now is that it also supports funding for on foreign shores. So sad. Man's way never leads to life. This is man's way. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy." Remember that even though Samson is referred to as a judge of Israel, he is a man that is bent on doing things his own way. God called him to service to defeat the enemy of Israel, the Philistines. But after 20 years of playing games with his enemy eventually defeated him. And there's three reasons I want to share with you this morning why Samson was defeated. First, Samson was defeated because he despised his own heritage. Let me ask you today, is there an attack on the heritage of the United States today and the history of this nation? You know there is. You know there is. There are folks who are thriving or striving today to do away with "In God We Trust." In God We Trust. Do away with anything that has anything to do with the Holy Scriptures. First, Samson was defeated because he despised his own heritage. We find this in chapter 13, and you don't need to turn there right now. We find this in chapter 13 of the book of Judges. His mother and father were devout people of God. He was to be a separated man, a Nazarite, upon which God had bestowed great strength to subdue all of Israel's enemies. His parents raised Samson to love the Lord. But instead of putting himself in God's hands to accomplish God's task, he chose rather to please himself and to make light of the things of God. My friend, let me tell you, there are a lot of professing Christians today, not just professing Christians, but Christians today who God has given you great gifts, and yet you are squandering those gifts. You're not using those gifts. How wonderful it was Saturday morning as we came for prayer time. One of our members, one of our sisters came and was sharing with us the wonderful blessing that God had laid upon her heart to be able to write beautiful little children's stories and accent those children's stories with scriptural information. And that's a blessing. And she's bound and determined that she's going to press on with that. That's a gift given to her by God. She's going to press on. And she's going to work. Gift that God has given her. And yet there's other people who God has moved upon them with special gifts, and they don't do anything with that gift. They don't do anything with that gift. In fact, the New Testament, Jesus Christ in the New Testament taught us that if you have a good, if God's been blessed you with a gift, and you go and you hide it under a rock, you're going to be ashamed of yourself when God comes and asks you, "What did you do with that gift?" "Oh, I didn't do it. I just held on to it. I held on to it so I could give it back to you." Well, God wants you to give it back to Him now in service to Him and in service to one another. Samson had a gift. Samson was blessed with a powerful gift, but he used them for selfish reasons. Instead of putting himself in God's hands to accomplish God's task, he chose rather to please himself and to make light of the things of God. For in the very first verse of chapter 14, now if you'll turn to chapter 14 of the book of Judges, when you're there, if you'll say amen. Judges chapter 14. The Bible says that Samson went down to Timnah. And so many times in the Bible when it uses the term he went down or they went down, it almost always refers to moving away from the Lord. So here in Judges chapter 14, beginning in verse 1, it says, "And Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, 'I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife.' And his father and his mother said unto him, 'Is there never a woman among the daughters of the brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines?' And Samson said unto his father, 'Get her for me, for she pleases me well.'" Now just look at that. I want to tell you that the Bible teaches us that there is no temptation taken man that God hasn't made a way of escape. God hasn't provided a way of escape. You know, the devil will come and he'll entreat you to come and do this and come and get involved in that. And yet the Holy Spirit in you always ministers to you in a wonderful way to convict your heart of the fact that this is wrong. Now the Holy Spirit's not going to grab you and pull you back off the path that's leading to that wickedness. He's not going to do that. But he's going to speak into your ear, he's going to speak to your heart, and he's going to convict your heart that you're moving in the wrong direction. Now, you have a free will to either receive and to heed that instruction and that guidance, or just to follow on the way that you want to go. And here, in the light of Samson's mother telling him and father telling him, can't you find a woman among your own brothers that you can be satisfied with instead of going after the Philistines? Now, my friends, that's a shadow of the Holy Spirit speaking to Samson and saying, this is not right. This is not right. Does he heed that? Does he heed the guidance and direction of his mother? No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. Samson, instead of listening to the godly counsel of his parents, shoves their counsel aside and presses on to have his own way. And so many in this world today are doing the very same thing. Many, many moms and dads pour their hearts out in prayer to God, seeking guidance and direction and conviction for their children. And yet, and even moms and dads share with their children what they would have them to do and what God would have them to do. And they shove that information aside and just go barreling right on down that road that leads to destruction. So Samson, here, the first thing that Samson does that's going to cause his defeat is he despises his heritage. He pushes his heritage aside. No foundational principles for living his life. His heritage was a foundation upon which God could build a life for him. And yet he took all that counsel and he shoved it aside. And that's what's happening in America today. We're taking all the counsel of God and pushing it aside. So Samson, first of all, he despised his heritage. Instead of seeking a wife of the Hebrews, as was in accordance with the laws and the traditions of the land, he rejected all godly counsel and followed after his own way. And so Samson despised his heritage. And secondly, Samson was defeated because he defiled his own body. He defiled his own body. Turn with me, if you will, you're in Judges chapter 14. In Judges chapter 14, verses 5 through 9. The Bible says, "Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnah and came to the vineyards of Timnah, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took therefore in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat, but he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion." What had he done? What was the problem with this? As a Nazirite, he wasn't even supposed to go anywhere near a dead body. And yet he disregards that, and he goes right on and he satisfies himself with this honey from this dead animal. And then not only does he satisfy himself, he takes the same sin and carries it to his mom and dad, carries it right into his family. And by the way, that happens today quite a bit, you know. Moms and dads just keep quiet. Don't express themselves, don't share anything. And children come home and they bring into the home the same garbage that they've been involved in out in the world. And the home becomes corrupted. Why didn't Samson want his mother and his father to know where he got the honey? Because as a Nazarite, he was never to touch nor even come in contact with a dead body. In Numbers chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, let me share with you one of the brief statements of the Nazarite vow. He says, all the days, now this is God speaking, all the days that he separates himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. He shall not make himself unclean for his mother or for his father or for his brother or for his sister when they die, because the consecration of his God is upon his head. All the days of his separation, he is holy unto the Lord. When his mother dies, he's not even to attend the funeral. When his father dies, he's not supposed to attend the funeral. That's the Nazarite vow. You separate yourself from any dead body. And so it's one thing to be called a Nazarite and quite another to live up to the holy calling. And Samson didn't live up to that calling at all. He didn't want any part of the Nazarite vow, and yet he was under that vow. And it's one thing, listen to this, it's one thing to be called a Christian and quite another to live up to the holy calling. It's one thing to be called a Christian and yet live up to that holy calling. Samson didn't want his mother and his father to know where the honey had came from, because they would have realized that he had defiled his body. Warren Wiersbe asked the question here, how many Christians today defile themselves just to enjoy a little honey? Sad to say, Samson passed the sin along to his parents, and then he made a joke about it to entertain his friends. And so the second sin of Samson was defiling his own body. And thirdly, and finally, Samson was defeated by his enemies because he deliberately played with sin. He deliberately played with sin. I'll never forget the story that I read in a newspaper when I was stationed out in Colorado Springs, Colorado. It was just a terrible incident that happened. A little girl went off to college, I think at Boulder, and she had been raised in a Christian home, was active in her church and all of that, and she went off to college. And in some of the companions she met at college, they decided that what they wanted to do was go out on the town. And the little girl was hesitant about going out on the town because she knew that she wasn't raised to go out on the town. And yet she kept being encouraged by her roommates to come on, just to loosen up one evening. Just one night. And they went out, and they went on the town, and they met up with some men who they went to some other place with, and somehow this little girl got separated from the group and found out that she had been murdered, stabbed multiple times right in the chest, and killed and raped and just cast aside, just like so much, you know, a bag of garbage. And how sad it was. Wouldn't it have been wonderful if she'd have stood her ground and said, I'm not going out. I'm not going to be involved in this. Now, where is that little girl? I believe she's with the Lord. I believe it was a poor judgment on her part to go out, certainly. And it was devastating. Cost her life. But my goodness, you know, today we dabble in sin. Today we play with sin. And we think we're not going to get burnt. I'll tell you, we're going to get burnt. Christians today, dabbling out there in the world. If you have any respect for the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have any appreciation for the calling that God has placed upon you as a Christian, you certainly wouldn't go out into the world and parade yourself before the world at getting yourself involved in wickedness and sin, and then turning around and saying, and then professing yourself to be a Christian. What are you doing? You're dragging the very name of the Lord Jesus Christ down. Samson was defeated by his enemies because he deliberately played with sin. Look at chapter 16. Chapter 16, beginning in verse 1, it says, Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there an harlot, and went into her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, In the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. So here the Gazites had all the gates of the city locked, apparently expecting to capture Samson. And yet Samson slipped out of the harlot's house that night, literally tore the gates of the city off of their hinges, posts and all, and for a little extra show, carried those gate doors some 40 miles and left them upon a hill where everyone that passed by could see his work. He was to use his strength for God, but his mighty strength was being used to amuse his enemies, not conquer them. What are you using your gifts for today? Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Continuing in chapter 16, we find that Samson talks too much and listens too little. Verse 4 says, and it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. So Delilah, day after day, questioned Samson about the secret of his great strength, and day after day, he would play a game with her, but would not tell her the truth until we come to verse 16. In verse 16 it says, and it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all of his heart. I mean, he shared with her all of those wonderful things that God had done for him. And verse 19 says, and she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shear off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him. And his strength went from him. You know, one of the most precious things the Christian has today is the very presence of the Holy Spirit living and abiding inside you. But how awful and how horrifying it would be if you woke up one morning and somehow you felt like the Holy Spirit wasn't with you at all. I tell you, I don't want to live in this world without the presence of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to live in this world without a knowledge of a home in glory. I don't want to live in this world without knowledge of the angels who are ever present among God's people. Yet Samson here, he tells her all of those things, all those precious things. You know, the Bible, Jesus said, cast not your pearls before swine. There comes a time when you're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody, with a group of people, and they just mock. All they do is mock. They're not interested in hearing what you have to say. They mock you. And you know what? God says you have no obligation to continue to share with them anything. Shut your mouth and go on your way. Cast not your pearls before swine. And so what we do in order for us to win a victory for ourselves, we just keep pressing on and sharing all of the things we know about the Bible and trying to encourage these people, and they just keep laughing and mocking and carrying on. And so what are we doing? We're fighting a battle that's going to bring honor and glory to us, not to Christ. Because when these people start mocking and laughing and cutting up, I tell you, you have every right in the world. I speak to you as the Word of God says, shut your mouth and move on. Because there are people who God has opened their ears and opened their hearts, and they're ready to receive the gospel message. Let God set up the situation, and don't you try to go in and share the gospel with people who are not ready to receive the gospel. When I gave my life to Christ many years ago, I was so on fire for the Lord that I intended for everybody to know about the gospel. In fact, I was out and about beating people on the head. Guys I served with in the military, beating them on the head about the judgment day, and they needed to find the Lord Jesus Christ. And those people separated themselves from me. And you know, one day Martha looked at me and she said, you know what? She said, the problem, you have a problem. She says, you're trying to beat those people. You're trying to beat the gospel into these people's heads, and they're not going to listen to that. She said, what you need to do is you need to let the Lord set up the situation and you just be ready to share when God leads you, not when you want to. And I tell you, that was a tremendous relief off of me, and the Bible teaches that. Cast not your pearls before swine. Verse 20 says, Well, Delilah, you know, she's been playing with Samson, and he's permitted the playing. Verse 20 says, "And Samson said, she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself." And some of the saddest words in the Bible. "And he was not, that the Lord was departed from him." You know, the scripture teaches us that whatever gift God has given to you, he's given it to you to use for his glory. But if you abuse that gift, you don't use that gift, one of these days you're going to wake up and you're going to find you don't have that gift at all anymore. Here, Samson thought, you know, I've got this power, I've got this strength. I'll rise up and I'll do exactly what as I've always done. And the sad thing was he didn't realize that the Lord had departed from him. What is your gift this morning? What has God called you to do? What is the Holy Spirit whispering in your ear? And what is it that you're putting off? Because you don't think you're qualified. You don't think you've got the experience. You don't think... Let me tell you something. If God calls you to do a work, he's going to lay the groundwork. He's going before you, and the doors are going to be opened. Don't count on self. Count on the Lord. So the Bible says in verse 20, "And he did not know that the Lord had departed from him." The rest of the story is well known. The Philistines took Samson captive, gouged out his eyes, bound him to be led by a little child. And when the Philistines called for Samson to be brought before them to mock him and to make fun of him, Samson rested his hands against the columns of the great pagan temple of Dagon. Then Samson called upon God to give him just enough strength to pull down the temple columns. And God granted Samson his prayer. And the Bible says that Samson killed more Philistines in his death than he ever did in his life. One of the questions that I noted this morning in our Sunday school lesson that I hadn't even noted hadn't noticed until Barbara was sharing it in our Sunday school. The question was, did Samson's mother fail in her seeking to raise her son as God had called her to raise him? Did she fail? I think she did her level best to get control of her son. But when he would not listen to them, then I believe that she did the very best she could do to raise up her child in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The Bible says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he grows old, he'll not depart from it." So we always have, you know, each and every one of us here this morning that are a little older, as Kim pointed out to us this morning. You know that we're not. I'm a little older, but I'm not as old as some of these. Excuse me. Bless her heart. But every one of us had those wild, what is it called? Wild oats to sow. But I'm going to tell you something. My grandmother raised me. I didn't go to my grandmother's house, visit with my grandmother. She didn't have me in church. And it was what I had learned from my grandmother and going to church that came home to me when I was 26, 27 years old. That it finally came to me that God was real and God was calling me back to serve him. And the thing is, the scripture says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he grows old, he'll not depart from it." Moms and dads, let me tell you something. If you're training your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, there's going to come a time when they're going to rebel. They're going to become independent. They're going to want to do things the way they want to do. They're going to become like little Samsons or whatever. But God makes a promise to you, if you train them up in the ways that they should go, when they grow old, they'll not depart from it. By and by, they'll come back to what you've taught them. Samson called upon God to give him just enough strength to pull down the temple columns, and God granted Samson his prayer. And the Bible says Samson killed more Philistines in his death than he ever did in his life. And the second part of that question this morning was, if his mother failed in raising him in the way he should go, in raising him to be of service to God the way he should have been, why did God bless him here in the end? Why did God bless him? Why did God answer his prayer? Why did God bless him? Well, let me tell you something. Here's what I believe. Samson didn't even receive the blessings that he could have received. You know, he could have been blessed, immensely blessed by God, and serve if he had decided to take his gifts and serve the Lord and serve his people the way God had called him to. This blessing, this answer to the prayer at the end was a way of God showing that Dagon, the pagan god Dagon, didn't mean anything. He wasn't a powerful god at all. He allowed Samson to have the strength to bring him down. If only Samson had followed the example left to him by Joshua. But Samson despised his heritage. Samson showed complete disrespect for his mother and his father and the word of God. Samson defiled his own body with pagan lovers, and he deliberately played with sin. And before he knew it, the enemy was upon him. I'll tell you, you know, you can be, Christians can be neutralized by the devil. Your testimony can be neutralized by the devil. You have a great testimony now. You have a testimony of walking daily with the Lord Jesus Christ. You get out there, the devil every day is trying to bring the Christian down. He's not worried about the lost of this world. He's worried about you. And I'll tell you this, let me tell you, strength comes in sharing Christ with others. The strength in your spiritual life comes by sharing Christ with others. You want to know how to get ahead in life? I like Psalm 1. Psalm 1 gives great advice on how to find victory in life. The scripture says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." Now just listen to this. Blessed is the man that first is walking in the counsel of the ungodly, and the next thing you know, he stops, and now he's standing in the way of sinners. And now, in the last part of this verse, it says that nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You're walking along, you get attracted, you stop, you listen, and then you sit down, and you begin to take in all that the devil has for you. God says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord," that is in God's word. "And in his law doth he meditate day and night." If we spent more time in God's word and less time in the world, we would be more powerful witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that gift that God has given to you will bloom and come forth. And verse 3 says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." But now listen to verses 4 through 6. "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." My goodness, I'm so thankful that I have a home in glory. I'm so thankful that God has blessed me with spiritual gifts. And he's blessed you with spiritual gifts too. And I fail him I tell you, there's probably not a day goes by that I don't fail him in some way, shape, or form. We all do. But what we ought to do is grab hold of that wonderful spirit, that wonderful blessing, that wonderful gift that God has given to us, and use it before it's everlasting too late. You don't ever want to come into the presence of God someday ashamed, which the Bible says that there are people who will do that. God, there's somebody out there that you can reach, and only you can reach, for the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's also many people out there that you can turn away from the Lord Jesus by just the example that you set before them. How are you using your gifts that God has blessed you with today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word. And Father, we see on every hand, Lord, the clear signs of your coming. We realize, Father, that today you could come and you'd owe apology to no one. I pray this morning, Father, if there's one here that doesn't know you as a personal Savior, never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray today this would be the day that they would open their heart to the pounding of the Holy Spirit upon that heart's door. They'll open their heart's door and receive Christ as Lord and Savior. The Bible tells us, Father, that by grace are we saved through faith and not of ourselves. It's a gift. God has given us a wonderful gift. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. Certainly, we can't work for it. And Father, we just ask you this morning that if there's one here that's never made that personal commitment, never opened their heart, that today they'd open their heart and receive that gift of eternal life. Then, Father, there are Christians here who have received that gift long time ago, but they've done absolutely nothing with it. They walk in the world. They may be in church on Sunday morning, but their lives are a testimony of paganism. Their lives are a testimony of not knowing you at all. Father, I just pray this morning that you'd convict those hearts, Lord, If they're Christians, convict them even now, Father, because they're just bringing such discredit upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would pray that you convict their hearts today. As they seek your forgiveness, Father, forgive them. And again, Father, let your light shine upon them and move upon them in a powerful way, that they may continue to be or begin again to be a witness on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, bless your people this morning. You get praise, get honor, and glory, for we ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. And all God's people said, Amen.